reading today will be from Luke 11, verses 1 to 13. Jesus is teaching on prayer. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say this, 'Father, may your holy name be honored, may your kingdom come. Give us day by day the food we need. Forgive us our sins, for we forgive everyone who does us wrong. And do not bring us to hard testing.'" And Jesus said to his disciples, "Suppose one of you should go to a friend's house at midnight and say, 'Friend, let me borrow 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine who is on a trip has just come to my house, and I don't have any food for him.' And suppose your friend should answer from inside, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' Well, what then? I tell you that even if he will not get up and give you the bread because you are his friend, yet he will get up and give you everything you need because you are not ashamed to keep on asking. And so I ask to you, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For those who ask will receive, and those who seek will find, and the door will be opened to anyone who knocks. Would any of you who are fathers give your son a snake when he asks for a fish? Or would you give him a scorpion when he asks for an egg? As bad as you are, you know how to give good things to your children. How much more then will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you so much, Louis. I'm going to start off today's sermon with this fact about myself. I hate Disney. I'm joking. I love it. Look, I'm wearing Donald Duck. I'm going to hate it. I love Disney, and I grew up on Disney films. I continue to grow up on Disney films. I absolutely love them. And for me, though, it's never been about the main characters. Like, I've never really enjoyed the main characters. The main characters aren't the things that I go for. Who I love are the sidekicks, right? Those are the characters that I love. You know, like Olaf, Mushu, Timon and Pumbaa, Lumiere and Cogsworth, Pascal and Maximus, and even Sebastian the Crab. I love Disney sidekicks. And there's one Disney sidekick who I love, like, way more than the rest. And that is the genie, right? And I'm talking not the blue CGI mess that is Will Smith. I'm talking OG Robin Williams, Genie. I love the Genie so much. He's so funny and he's great. And he asks you that question, isn't it? It's an age-old question that you get asked a lot. If you had 3 wishes, what would you wish for? If you had 3 wishes, what would they be? Talk among yourselves. I'm going to ask some of you for your most outrageous answers in a second. Okay, have we got some good wishes? Give me a wave if you've got a good wish that you'd like to share. Molly. Let's go for it. Molly, what's your wish?
To make sure everyone else is happy.
Oh, he was suddenly feeling really guilty about their wishes. Yeah. Any other wishes that we've got? Okay, yeah. Oh no, I've gone the wrong way. I'll run this way. Okay.
World peace.
Okay, who's feeling extra guilty about their wishes right now? Any other wishes that we've got? Any more outrageous wishes? Okay, I feel like we've got an outrageous wish here. Okay, here we go.
That I can
can have pancakes every morning with bacon.
Pancakes every morning with bacon, that's more like it. That's more like a wish. That's a great wish. I met a guy who had a giant peach for a head. And I said to him, I said, well, why have you got a giant peach for a head? How did that happen? And he said, well, I met a genie. That's all I'm thinking, yeah. Met a genie, and he said I could have 3 wishes. And for my first wish, I asked to be the richest person in the world. And instantly in my bank account, like zillions of pounds, like just so, so rich. For my second wish, I wished to marry the most beautiful woman in the world, who's both intelligent and gorgeous. Instantly she was there and we got married. I was like, wow. And then for my third wish, I wished for a giant peach for a head. So, that's a really bad joke. I love it though. Cool, so, wishes versus prayers. So for a long time, I used to think that prayers were wishes. That what you do is you'd go to God and you go, God, I want this, make it happen. God, I want to be 6 foot tall. Make that happen. It didn't happen. Spoilers. And yet in the Bible, as we just read, it says, ask and you will receive. So maybe prayers are like wishes. But what are the differences between wishes and prayers? Well, I think wishes, you get exactly what you ask for, right? We've seen it time and time again when in a film where they've made a wish, like Big with Tom Hanks, you know, he wishes to be an adult and he gets everything that comes with being an adult, including a 30-year-old girlfriend, which is kind of creepy when you think about it. And we see it all time and time again, these wishes, and that you get exactly what you ask for. And that's why the phrase, be careful what you wish for, is around, right? Because when we wish for stuff, we don't necessarily see far forward in the future. It's great to have £1 million, isn't it? But then when you spend a lot of it, or, you know, I don't know, you spend a lot of it and it goes, or you don't need to earn money anymore, so you kind of effectively just live off your millions of pounds, and then what do you do with your life? Are you successful? Are you happy? Be careful what you wish for. Whereas prayers is slightly different, isn't it? And the first difference is this. Is that God is not a genie. He doesn't give us just 3 wishes, right? He gives us unlimited wishes. It's the ultimate thing. He gives us unlimited access to him. And we can ask how for things so many times. But I'm sure that you know, and I know, that sometimes God doesn't give you what you ask for. Sometimes you're praying for a real hard situation and you pray for a solution and that solution doesn't happen. And that can be really difficult and it can be really disappointing. But it says in this Bible passage, would any of you who are fathers give your son a snake when he asks for fish? My dad would, but that's besides the point. Would any of you who are fathers give your son a snake when he asks for fishes? And I don't think God will give you a snake if you've asked for a fish. We know that. We see that time and time again in the Bible. Is God won't give you a bad gift. But he may not always give you a fish either. Sometimes he might give you a fishing rod. There's that phrase, isn't it? If you give a man a fish, he feeds for a day. If you give a man a fishing rod, his wife will never see him again. Or, you know, he'll be able to get more fish. Sometimes God gives us the tools that we need in order to fulfill our kind of desires or wants or situations that we need. As I said, I love Disney, and I saw this This is a quote from the Mary Poppins musical. This is how geeky I am. I've seen the Mary Poppins musical. And this is what it says. It says, if you reach for the stars, or you get other stars, but we found a whole new spin. If you reach for the heavens, you get the stars thrown in. I love this, because I think sometimes when we reach for things that we want, we can only see like the immediate future and the immediate gratification of it. And so we reach for these things and we go, yes, I want the stars, I want that. Whereas if we ask God for it, if we go to the heavens and we ask God, not only will we get the stars, but we'll get so much more. We'll get so much more when we ask God for stuff. And he knows the best outcomes to the problems we have. Because he's ultimate and he's wise and he's beyond time and he's the creator of all. And therefore he knows what is best for us. We sometimes think we know what's best for us. And so we ask for a solution and we go, God, I want this to happen because I believe this is going to be the best result for me and for everyone else. Whereas God knows that there's another solution out there which is better not just for you, not just for everyone else, but the whole world and the whole of history. There's a better solution out there for you that you haven't even thought of, that you could never think of. And we see it in Gethsemane when Jesus is praying just before he is arrested. He went a little farther on, threw himself face downward on the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, take this cup of suffering from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want. Jesus didn't really want to die. I don't think Jesus really wanted to go on the cross. I don't think he really wanted to have nails through his palms. But that's what happened, isn't it? And you see that here. He says, if there's any other way, Lord, make it possible. But I know that you've got a better plan. And we know that God had a better plan, don't we? Because we see it. We see the fact that, yes, he goes onto the cross, but then he rises up from the grave. And then he goes on to heaven and gives us the Holy Spirit and so much more good stuff. His death, although sad and painful in a moment, brought so much joy and so much freedom to the world for the long term. But can you imagine if God had decided, okay, yeah, I'm not going to make you suffer, Jesus. It's okay. Carry on with your way. Where we'd be now. So my advice to you is this. Is pray about the problem, not the solution. It's kind of like technical. Talk about what's going on in your life. God wants a relationship with you. He wants it to be conversational. He wants to know what's going on in your life. So pray about what's going on in your life. Say, Lord, this is going on. I don't know what to do. Can you help me? And God won't say no. He'll say yes. But if you pray for a solution, if you pray for a specific solution to a problem, and then that solution doesn't happen, then it can cause real doubt, can't it? Whereas I like to keep like a prayer journal. And I'll write down all the situations that are going on in my life and all the problems. And then what I do is like a couple of months later is I go back through it and I read it and I go, oh, that worked out in the end. I didn't think that would, but it did work out. And it worked out better than what I would have planned it to be. And I think what's really notable is in verse 13, it says this, how much more then will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? I'll hold up my hands. I thought that this verse was completely different because it talks about good gifts that the Father gives. And I thought that this verse here, I thought it was meant to say, how much more then will the Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask? But that's not what he does, is it? He gives the Holy Spirit, which is like, the ultimate gift. It's the ultimate gift because in the Old Testament, what we see is there are people who are given the Holy Spirit, like Moses or Noah, and they're given the Holy Spirit. But then God takes it away from them as well. They don't just keep it, he takes it away from them. But when Jesus dies on the cross, what he does is he gives us unlimited access to it. And I thought long and hard how to like explain this in today's terms. And it's a bit like Netflix, right? Netflix will sometimes give you a free trial. And you get your free trial, but after a while it cancels and you have to pay for it. Or you just, you know, quickly cancel your subscription and then don't pay for it, right? And then sometimes they might give you an email and go, oh, we're missing you. Come back for a month. But what Jesus did when he died is he said, have my password. Have my email address. Don't worry about it. Use my Netflix account for free. Don't pay me. It's okay. You've got it for free. You've got unlimited TV, unlimited films. Netflix, if you want to sponsor me, please do. And I think that's kind of what it is, but with the Holy Spirit instead, not TV. And we read in Galatians 5, verses 22 to 23, the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And this is basically this idea that if you have the Holy Spirit living in you and growing in you, it produces fruits like a tree. Now, I'm going to look for a year 5 or a year 6, because we did this really recently. I'm really hoping someone can name all 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit. Joseph's going like this to me. It's not a good sign. It's not a good sign. Louis, James, not one. Lani, Maya, do you think you got it? Okay. Go for it.
Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
She's only got a done it. Yes! I thought I was going to be fired then. I'm not going to lie. Great. Okay. Goodness, faithfulness, kindness, self-control, gentleness, love, peace, joy, and patience. These are the things that the Holy Spirit gives us. Think about those problems, those situations in your life at the moment. Where could you need some of this? Where would your answer of prayer actually be some of this? Difficult work colleague, love, patience. Difficult family member, love, patience. There's so much here that you could use if you allow God to use you. Because I have a real thing that God doesn't want to just kind of throw stuff down and give us stuff. I think it's not a one-way relationship. It's not just God giving us stuff. Nor is it just us talking to God one way. It's a two-way relationship. He gives us gifts and he wants us to work in our own problems. He wants to help us grow in our problems. He doesn't want to just give us gifts, because when we get given gifts, we take them for granted, right? But when we get given the abilities to help our problems, then we grow stronger. Hello, Harry. You all right? So, I'm going to pick you up. Come here. So, where am I going to land it? I don't know where I'm going to land it. I wasn't quite sure where to land this, but I think it's this. Know how much God loves you. We hear it all the time in church, and I totally get that it's like a catchphrase at church, I suppose. It sometimes loses its meaning, but it's we say it a lot because it's true. God really loves you. God really cares about you. And like, you know, he's up all the time. He's not in bed sleeping at midnight. You can give him a call and he'll answer. Pray about the problem, not the solution. Pray for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can get you through a lot. And if you need prayer, like, this is your church family. Look around. These are people who would love to pray for you. These are people who'd love to be there for you when times are tough. Because times do get tough. So I thought we should end with a prayer. And my belief is prayers shouldn't be like King James translations. They don't need to be fancy words or long or difficult. They can just be really simple like this. Hey God, thank you for prayer. Amen. Cool. We're going to have like a minute's sort of reflection, quiet, peaceful time where you can pray in your head with the person next to you or just on your own. There's other people going, isn't there? So we're going to just take time to just be quiet for a bit.